Thanks very much, Sir Jim, and I can extend my own welcome to you because this Technology and Innovation Centre here in Glasgow City Innovation District is the home of Fraunhofer UK and Fraunhofer Centre for Applied Photonics. So welcome to you all in the room and welcome online. When mathematics becomes real, we call it physics, and when physics becomes useful, we call it engineering. And when engineering becomes successful, we call it manufacturing. And I love the framing of quantum technologies from research to reality because quantum is such an overused, highly used, hyped word just now. All that noise tells us that there's a huge opportunity, but there's also a lot more to be done. Because when quantum's truly successful, we won't even call it quantum anymore. We're beginning to explore a new level of nature of entanglement and superposition, all these amazing effects, manipulating single ions and single atoms, exploring new avenues completely. And there's a huge amount of excitement there that I would like to expand more about the reality bit and where we fit in that system. Talk about the Industrial Strategy Challenge Fund, supply chains, the importance of clusters, and this amazing global race that we have. So thank you very much for coming along to this discussion. Very briefly, Fraunhofer Centre for Applied Photonics. I have about 80 colleagues downstairs, staff and students, who are immersed in the world of photonics, so lasers and optical systems. And we embrace a wide range of applications. We're problem solvers that are making new lasers for sensing, measuring, imaging, communications, and computing. All similar words we hear in the world of quantum. So very briefly, we're on that journey from research to reality, whether that's making ray guns or things that look like ray guns to detect explosives at a distance, helping the local space industry with CubeSats, using mid-infrared lasers to check pharmaceuticals to make sure the right amount of ingredient in is every tablet, or working in agri-tech, but also a point as well to the processes, the tools and techniques to integrate photonics and miniaturize photonics, and that's a big part of the journey that we're on. So I think, and you also need to thank Dame Francis, not only for the amazing report, but for also beautifully putting in a nutshell that Fraunhofer is a genus organization. I've never been so pleased to be called two-faced. It's marvelous. It really does sum up the fact that we're here embedded in the research base in the university, but working so much, so wholeheartedly with industry. And you put up a more sophisticated picture, and we'll come to that. Too often, the road from research to reality is oversimplified and it sounds linear. And we do it ourselves. We point from things that are a meter long and a big optical bench in a lab and how we prototype that, get down to a proof of concept, perhaps 30 centimeters, and we call this a product. And it is a product, and it is for sale, and it is quantum tech, and it is real. But there's a whole other journey to get from 6 centimeters down to something that might end up fitting inside your mobile phone. So I'd like to explore some of the demonstrators. So the Industrial Strategy Challenge Fund, along with the academic hubs, has been a big plank of why the UK has got the position it has already. We're showing here 3 demonstrations that we've done. For the more observant of you, recognizing that building out the window, you realize this experiment was done just outside there on the edge of the Technology and Innovation Center. This was a quantum key distribution system where we're sending quantum keys from the top of the John Anderson building down to this building. We're doing that with British Telecom, but also with a wide range of very small, micro, and medium-sized companies. This gargantuan piece of kit here is for position, navigation, and timing with British Aerospace Systems, who were the end user, if you like, of this wonderful demonstration, which also involved a lot of the smaller companies and local companies, companies across the UK, to put cold atoms on a plane and fly it around to make sure the thing worked. This here is a hydrogen detection system, so measuring tiny amounts of hydrogen at tens of meters away. This demo here was for Sellafield for nuclear storage purposes, but there's a new project now with British Petroleum, again involving much, much smaller companies to help detect hydrogen for the hydrogen economy. I call these demonstrators, some people would call them prototypes, but these are heroic demonstrations. These are the first off. This is getting the stuff out of the lab into the field. They are not made with off-the-shelf components. These are made up of heroic subsystems, made up of heroic components. We have a chicken and egg situation of trying to create a genuine quantum technologies manufacturing supply chain where the one two-person company down here doesn't know what to commit to make to get all the way through to the end user. That, for me, is where we are in a very, very exciting space, proving these things are possible, getting the attention of the multinationals, and showing the potential so that investors can believe This really is coming. It can be demonstrated, but there's still a lot of work to make this smaller. So I've borrowed a diagram from the wonderful report, and I'm going to dumb it down a little bit in my own simple way. Working prototypes, we've seen some demonstrators there. There's a lot of work to do there from pre-production and pilot laboratory. But there's a whole extra stack of work to actually make that real-world manufacturing. For those of you in the audience who know nothing about quantum, imagine you've never seen a motor car, and someone makes a prototype. They take away the horses from the carriage and they put a steam engine on it. They have made a prototype motor car. That's not fit to be manufactured. That's not what the end user needs. But we learn a lot along the way. So once you show this to someone, perhaps they'll decide they need a Land Rover. Maybe they're a farmer, they want to go off-road. Maybe they need something faster like an Aston Martin to drive around a racetrack. That informs the design decisions of what you're going to manufacture, but it has to come all the way back here. You need to redesign the chassis. You need to design an appropriate engine and a gearbox and the wheels and the tires and absolutely everything. This original prototype didn't have a windscreen. There's a whole industry out there of people making windscreens. So what's going to come as we develop these technologies and work out where the economic and social opportunities are for the UK? Still lots to be done. And it is a global race. 2025 will be the International Year of Quantum. Governments around the world are putting billions into this. We are not alone. There's another 2.5 billion that we're expecting to come in the next 10 years in the UK. And Dame Frances alluded to this. We need to see an appropriate plan for that. We need to see that rolled out. So everyone around the world would like their own quantum cluster. The Finns reckon theirs is unique. Other people might argue, maybe Denmark or Australia or Canada might argue. In Europe, the flagship wants Europe to be the quantum valley of the world. Well, here in Scotland, we don't call them valleys. We call them glens. So our glen of quantum entanglement, we have reduced to Glentanglement. Sir Jim hinted that we were building on a great base here of photonics companies. So with apologies to those who are writing quantum software and those who are involved in superconductors and cryogenics, there is a huge percentage of the quantum world is actually, we recognize as a photonic world. So we've been involved in quantum technologies for at least 10 years now, and we got some of the local companies involved very, very quickly and helped build some momentum in that cluster. So roundabout, we reckon it's more than 50% of the Innovate UK projects involve at least one Scottish partner. Fraunhofer, ourselves, we reckon we're involved in about 30% of all the Innovate UK work in this. So we're in the right space, the oil in the machine of getting this stuff out there. But we're not doing it alone, and that's not to say that there is a vertical supply chain here in Scotland. Far from it. This is really, really collaborative. So right back to photonics here. The Photonics Leadership Group produced these numbers that show there's various regions around the UK where there's very substantial employment and very substantial output and a very real growing, rapidly growing photonics sector, larger than pharmaceutical, larger than space, growing faster than both of those, but not often in the limelight because it lacks some of the larger companies. So the Scottish Photonics Cluster was clicked to get involved, and I had a little look at some data. I looked at the Innovate UK projects we've been involved in the last few years, photonics and quantum, but the numbers would look similar with photonics or quantum. When we win with Innovate UK, I have taken away the financial support to ourselves. This is the financial support that goes to our partners, whether they're in academia, large, small companies, etc. And you see that Scotland's doing very well. There's a lot of support and a lot of activity here, but it is, of course, spread across the UK very, very well. No great surprises there. Also, courtesy of the Photonics Leadership Group, if you look at the makeup of the photonics industry in the UK, I think this might tell us something as well. Similar to other sectors, whether you're looking at engineering or manufacturing or other physics-based sectors, there are very few large companies, but they dominate the turnover of the UK. And there's a very, very long tail of small and micro companies. But there's a fair number of medium companies. So I was a little bit surprised when I looked again at the Innovate UK awards. And you'll see here in the green, the total project costs, and the blue are the award costs, the finances drawn down by the organizations, split across the type of organization. So my gut would have told me we did a lot of work with small micro companies, indeed, and some large companies, end users, and yes, plenty of projects with our academic partners, many in the room today. But I think what's slightly surprising is the number of medium-sized companies being involved in these projects. And I think this points as well as to where some of the opportunity is for the UK, and also shows the immaturity of the sector. So I think we're on an amazing journey of maturing all of these technologies. I hope we've played a part in getting the smaller companies to meet the larger companies when otherwise they might not be able to demonstrate what's actually possible. And then the next part has to be, along with the skills and the VC money, the opportunities for the smaller companies to scale up. And we know there's scale-up challenges in the UK, but I think there's a vacuum of the tier two companies that the multinationals normally buy their equipment from, because this is moving so quickly from physics lab through to the real world that there's really exciting opportunities for these small companies and micro companies to grow and dominate their sector and sell around the world. And one of the difficulties is we don't know quite what the engine or the gearbox is exactly supposed to look like yet. So we're back to Dame Francis and the iterations that we have in engineering and development, and there's a lot more to be done. So a few conclusions. Yes, it's a global race. It's incredibly exciting. Clusters and RTOs and universities can have enormous impact, and we've seen that with the academic hubs and the Industrial Strategy Challenge Fund. We don't do it in isolation. It is very, very collaborative in the UK. I think that has been our great advantage. Is in introducing everyone to each other so we can have those conversations about what do you need, what can you make, what do you need, that goes round in circles. It's incredibly complex and there's a lot more to do, but I do believe there's a huge, huge opportunity for growth for all of us. And the missions are coming up, and I do hope that we remember in the missions that we are still making heroic components and subsystems to try and make these systems, and there's still a lot of work to be done. Especially in processes and integration and in infrastructure. Thank you very much.